I'm Robin Hilton with NPR's All Songs Considered. If you like your business stories and news about the economy with a healthy dose of humor, then check out NPR's Planet Money podcast. It's full of funny, insightful stories about things like why do we work so much? Plus useful stuff like the messed up and far-reaching economics of drought and the psychology of a big red button. Find Planet Money now at npr.org/podcasts and on the NPR One app. Roll out those lazy, hazy, crazy days. Lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer, Bob Boylan.
When was the last time we were together?
I don't know. It's been a while. We've both been out so much this summer, and we've been using the opportunity to talk to more interesting people, like some of our favorite musicians.
You mean more interesting than you, or more, right. Or you more interesting than me?
Right. But. Like, we had Courtney Barnett come on and play guest DJ, and last week we had Leon Bridges.
Kate Tempest was recently on as guest DJ. It's been kind of fun sitting across the table from so many smart people, Robin.
I know, likewise.
And also it's been kind of a slow bunch of releases here in the summer, but that's about to change.
I tweeted, is there any band that is not releasing an album on September 18th? I cannot tell you how many records are coming out on September 18th.
That's a big one. So new shows coming, lots of new music coming. But today
we have Sylvan Esso.
Which is awesome.
Sylvan Esso, play guest DJ for us.
So that's Amelia Meath, Nick Sanborn, who make up the group Sylvan Esso.
People would never know this, but there's no planning involved with this show, right?
And there are the times that things don't go quite right. There's something called a slapback. There's like a tail so that we hear the echo, or Amelia in this case was hearing the echo of her own voice.
And we were having that slapback echo in her headphones because they were in a studio at WUNC and their home base of Durham, North Carolina. So we couldn't see each other. And with that in mind, this is how our conversation with them unfolded.
Hello.
Yeah.
No. How many fingers am I holding up?
Three.
Holy God in heaven.
You guys are magic.
That was three.
It really was. Three. Magic on the radio, so much fun.
Running gag, the ventriloquist on the radio.
That's right. Yeah. He's a ventriloquist on the radio. By the way, I just so you know, I turn on the record machine at the moment I walk in the door, so
we're getting all this.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, it was really great. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
It's this really meta podcast where it's just us setting up for the show.
That's right. The whole podcast is just the beginning of the end.
Constantly just tricking people into coming on.
One second. Al, I'm having trouble with Nick now. He's quiet.
Hello. It might be this cable. No.
I think something weird. Yeah, there was cabling-wise.
It was a
just
dust.
Made a dust noise.
It was a dust noise.
I'm sorry. I'm loving the idea. This is the show. This is the show, right? Like, you're a little hot. You're a little hot. I need you to back off. You're popping your peas just a little bit. If you could.
I really think that this could be a good show, though. I really think if you kept tricking bands into doing this, this would be a great show. Like, imagine if you did this, but with like Sonia Sotomayor or something like that. Just like a really.
She's our next guest. Oh my God.
Just like, what does she talk about before an interview? You know, I think that would be hilarious. You just keep being like, I'm sorry, Justice. It'll just be one more moment. tell us again about your lunch date. You know, like, I think that'd be so funny.
Oh, I've got a tail again, darn it. As long as it doesn't record with me having a tail, I can deal with having a tail.
It actually sounds fine to us.
Yeah. Does it sound fine over there?
Well, then who cares?
Great, then it doesn't matter.
It'll only be a little distracting.
You're annoying.
Isn't that a cool sound?
Is that the cough button?
Yeah, it's a beautiful on-off sound. The click of the button.
This is the show.
Totally the
show. This is the show.
And it's called This Is The Show.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's perfect. This is the show.
That's the tagline that you end every interview with. Like, no, Justice Sotomayor. This is the show. And then the kazoo ukulele credit music rolls. And
This is the show.
NPR's Bob Boylan. With another installment of This Is...
Oh, my Lord.
The show!
All right, I'm going to play this song right here. All right. Ready? Oh, No, I'm not.
Record scratch.
Even better. This is the show.
See, we're great.
No, it's still not working.
Are we beginning now?
Oh, we've been rolling. We're spinning gold.
Oh, boy.
All right, well, we got it. Let's play this instead.
I'm going to play this song, and you've got to tell me how you fell in love with this song. Ready?
And are we closing our mics? What are we doing?
No, I'll leave the mics
open.
Okay,
mics open.
Yeah. I love this moment. This is my favorite.
I'm sorry, this is
my favorite part of the show.
That needs to go.
You got gray.
It's great that this is my favorite part of the show because this is.
No one told me that much.
All right.
Let me stop this.
You know, this show, we've been doing this show for 15 years.
How?
And not once have we gotten it
publicly
right.
Funded. No, but the first 15 years, my understanding is the first 15 years are the hardest.
All right, here we go.
Hit it.
Just a second here.
Good, hang on.
Sanborn, you have no idea how it thrilled me when I saw this song on your list. Not only is it called Bob the Bob.
I thought you'd appreciate
right?
that.
And so I appreciate it on that level. But when I worked and directed All Things Considered for all those many years, that is 18 years, and played music in between news stories, the Lounge Lizards, which this song is done by John Lurie, was a song I used all the time. And the band I used to be in, Tiny Desk Unit, the very first show at the 930 Club that was ever done at the 930 Club was Tiny Desk Unit with the Lounge Lizards. So this song hit so many sweet spots for me. How did you find it? Tell us about Bob the Bob.
We are both big fans of John Lurie, but have only really delved into his music in the last, 4 years or so. Like right after you moved to Durham, you found that CD copy of
my friend,
the Marvin Pontiac record, right?
Yeah, my pal Rowan found it on someone's porch in a free CD pile.
And Marvin Pontiac, you could probably tell the story. Marvin Pontiac is fictitious. Well, go on.
Yes. Yeah, he's a fictitious human that John Lurie created. And so for the first day or two of listening to this record on repeat, I thought that Marvin Pontiac was actually a real person until I asked the Oracle, aka the internet.
which kind of was a shame, I think, that Google existed. I remember being impressed with the mystery of that CD and how when it came out in 99, you probably wouldn't have been able to immediately figure that out.
No, you wouldn't. Or I guess you could. I think that actually John Lurie and Medeski and Wood are credited in the actual notes of it.
Because Billy Martin's on that record, I think, and Mark Ribot. And anyway, we fell in love with that, and then I realized I'd heard all those songs a bunch of times before, you know, closer to the actual release of that record, and started getting into a lot of John Lurie's other stuff, and that led me to the Lounge Lizards. And that CD, The Voice of Chunk, which is that's the first track on this great album of theirs called The Voice of Chunk. I got in a UCD bin in Idaho. Yeah, and it just became the soundtrack of kind of the next year. It's still in our car right now.
Yeah, in the tour mobile.
The tour
is it really?
Mobile. Yeah.
So you're riding down the road.
Yeah.
Oh yes.
And I just think I really love. I've played jazz for a long time. My longest running weekly DJ night was a vinyl jazz night that I did every Sunday in Milwaukee. And I think one of my favorite things that happens in modern jazz is when they use all of these. How do I say this? It's both very experimental and strange and loose, but at the same time completely accessible. It doesn't require any knowledge of jazz or any knowledge of the history or right. knowledge of music theory in order to really enjoy. But if you understand all those things, you can enjoy it even more. I think that's always one of my favorite things when people do in music is when they make a really experimental, different sounding record that has no bar for entry, you know, yeah. that anyone can enjoy. It's just this new pure expression. I feel like the Lounge Lizards were really, really good at that. And this song in particular, I mean, it's so free. The melody kind of phases over the chord progression. It feels like just a pure expression of something he was feeling, you know?
Bob asked you how you came to the song because he seemed surprised by it. And it is a surprise pick. But actually, when I first heard the top of the song, I immediately thought, oh yeah, of course. And there's something in the melodic line or even the timbre of the instrument when the sax comes in that reminds me a little bit of Amelia's voice.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. I immediately, in that melodic line, I thought, oh yeah, something. It's very reminiscent of your singing style.
I wonder, does that ring true at all with you? And what might that song be? Maybe we can play something.
Come Down kind of has a lilting feeling like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think...
maybe something with Mountain Man?
Yeah, or one of the most magical things about the Lounge Lizards in general is that John Lurie really trusts melody, which is something that we really trust in our band, too.
And that one line. Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, and he's such a lyrical player, you know? I think that he's somebody who sounds like he's singing when he's playing.
Exactly.
Ha-da, 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 ha-da. There's this kind of breath-like quality to it. I don't know, it's just a... I just love that melody in that song.
Let me just do this one second. This is the show. You had a jazz show on the radio, huh?
Not on the radio, no. At a bar next to my house. A lot fewer ears on my Sunday night jazz spin.
It was in my living room. I was usually alone.
It was a great spin. My cats would usually stick around for the first four tracks and then go into the bedroom. That's usually... No.
This place is
no,
dead.
No, it was at a bar that I worked at for a long time called Bernhardt's in Milwaukee. And the owner and my friend, who I played with in this band Decibeli a long time ago, was nice enough to let me spin jazz records every Sunday night for like 4 hours. He tolerated my bringing in absolutely no people.
Winning.
I think I was pretty good at it, though. We'll see.
Blame it on the food or the drinks.
Exactly.
Spin us something, Amelia. What would you like to play for us? It's just us and the cats.
You could just play that Frazee Ford song you were talking
about. Yeah, I guess so. Okay, we'll play Done by Frazee Ford, the amazing Frazee Ford.
Tell us just a bit about Frazee Ford, who we've been fans of in the very early, one of the very first broadcasts we've ever did with video was the Be Good Tanyas in our studios in, what, Robin, 2003 or 2004?
Two or three. It was when
cool.
The Blue album cover, Horse... What was that called?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was great.
I can't remember what it was called.
You know, I was completely unaware of her until my friend Phil Cook introduced me to her because he worked on this most recent record that this song's from.
Phil Cook
and then I
from Megaphone,
Phil Cook from Megaphone. And I got to sing with her at a performance that he just did in our town. At which point, after we had sung together, I was like, man, I got to check out her music. This lady seems super awesome and amazing. And
she's
wizardly.
So cool.
Yeah, she's so cool. And she was wearing the coolest outfits and just owning herself in the best way. And her 8-year-old son was running around. And I was like, man, this chick is bad. And then I bought a record and was like, oh my gosh. My brain, my like mind was blown at how good this record is. Yeah, also the video for Done is incredible.
I feel like you actually know the person more after watching it.
Yeah.
Well, let's play Done from the album Indian Ocean from Frazee Ford and come back. And I want to know about this project you did.
Shooting son of a bitch, and I'm done.
sounds so good. What a voice.
Oh, right?
Yeah.
She sang on the last track of the last Megaphone record, another song Phil wrote, and that was my first time hearing her voice by itself, and I remember just being like, who is this? And he's like, oh man, it's Frazee from Be Good Tony. I was like, oh my God. Go back and check that out. It's one of the coolest verses.
Well, let's just do that right now.
Oh, sure.
You know, why not?
Because this is the show.
That's exactly right. It'll just take a few minutes. Can I get some cookies or something while we're waiting?
Do you want to take this one down? And now I've already forgotten what we're doing. What are we doing?
We're playing Megaphone's song, and the song is called?
I think it's called Everything. Or
it's a last cut on
the last cut on the self-titled Megaphone record. And it's like I think she does the second or third verse. Yeah, there you go.
Let's scoot in a little bit. That's technical term. Scoot.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right after this, she does the verse by herself. It's nuts.
It's like Emmy Lou. Always thou can up
with wind. Oh, come on. Always standing round the doors. Never seen the fair these arms anymore.
I say Emmylou Harris in part because it's a very distinctive voice, but also like hers, you add it to anything and it'll make it better. Like you immediately recognize it when you hear it.
Yeah, that really specific vibrato and
yeah.
I don't know.
That band, Be Good Tanya, for those who don't know it, might also know Jolie Holland, who also has when the band began was part of the band, and she has a very specific voice too. That's unlike anything else.
Yeah.
What were you playing on this Megaphone record?
Oh, I wasn't playing anything on it. No, I'm not on any Megaphone records. I just played you bass and some other stuff on tour.
Yeah.
With them after this record came out. Yeah. Which I feel like I'm okay to just still be a total fan of their band.
Uh-huh.
I'm still legal.
I think of these so far. We'll play a bunch of music, but I think of the musics we've played so far, the Lounge Lizards, the Frazee Ford, and then I think about what you do, and having before I came to love you all, and just knew that, I mean, I knew Mountain Man, knew Megaphone, and I remember going to see you and was stunned by the music, because on so many levels had nothing, at least on the surface, to do with any of the music I knew you were all about. I mean, how did you come to make the music you do with the music you were making and the music you're bringing to the table, which I don't think resembles, well, you tell me how it resembles, if it does, what you did, what you love.
I think the drapings are different, but the actual skeleton underneath the music is the same. Particularly with Mountain Man, the content of those songs is quite similar to the songs of Sylvanesso, but they're just wrapped in different packaging.
Mm-hmm.
Mountain Man was all about being a human being in a very loud place and trying to speak quietly, and I think that Sylvanesso is the same, except it just happens to have a bunch of dancing involved.
Yeah, I don't... It's weird. We get that question kind of a lot, and it's not something I think either of us even thought about when we were making the record. I think to our friends, it was a really natural thing for us to do. But I think if you just look at it under the scope of, you know, oh well, Amelia played in Mountain Man and Nick played in Megaphone, if you limit our musical history to those two things, I think then that's the only way it can be confusing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a tough thing to answer, because I feel like all of, including Mountain Man and Megaphone, all the bands we've each been a part of have been trying to do a similar thing that I think Sylvanesso might, I'd hate to say, just does it in a slightly different way. I think we're trying to connect with people and talk about very similar things as both of those bands.
Yeah, I think the draping's a good idea. Can we just play, for people who've never, ever heard Mountain Man? I don't want to go too backwards. You've talked about this stuff a lot as you've grown up over these past few years, but I'd like to play just something. You got a track that...
Sure. Why don't you play, you can play Honeybee.
Sure,
you
we can.
You can do Animal Tracks, too, if you wanted to.
Animal Tracks. Do I have Honeybee? Oh, there's Honeybee. I do have Honeybee. All right.
All right. This is the show.
This is the show.
This is the show.
That's weird. It's working.
Look at you go.
On a roll.
Let us sing a song to thee. Oh, my sweet honeybee. Let us sing a song.
Reminds me, there's a wonderful British folk band that I love so madly called Steel Eye Span, who are playing in D.C. Do you know those folks at all?
No.
Oh, my gosh. You know, before the internet, so because I'm old, I went to see Jethro Tull when I was a kid or a teen. And an opening for Jethro Tull was this band, and they were called, they announced from the stage, "We're Steel Eye Span." And then they played like madrigals, and they played all this amazing British folk music. They were sort of in the Fairport Convention vein. Mattie Pryor is a singer, one of the most beautiful voices I've ever heard in my entire life. And then I even worked in a record store, and I went looking for what I thought was Steel Ice Band, right? And back then you couldn't. I mean, there was no other way. You couldn't say, type in, what was that concert? Who played with them? You know, the newspaper was in the trash, right? There's nowhere to find anything.
God, wasn't The Hunt cool?
The Hunt was cool.
The Hunt.
Yes. We were just talking about how there's no mystery anymore. You know everything, and you can know everything.
But The Hunt, I spent 6 months. I'd walk into record stores all over D.C. and Baltimore, and I'd say, "You guys know a Steel Ice Band?" And finally, one day, a guy who eventually became a good friend of mine because of this, The Hunt, right?
He was your record store guru.
Yeah, that's right. His name was Al, and there was a record store in College Park, Maryland. He said, "Oh, Steel Eye Span. Yeah, they're on Chrysalis. Yeah, they've got one record, Below the Salt. You want that record. Let me play some Below the Salt, because I must have some here. I know I have the vinyl home, but I must have some in my collection here.
I've got a Bob if you want to.
What's the first cut on?
Spotted Cow?
Sure. Oh, I'm so excited. they're playing DJ, right? What the hell?
Hey, man, this is the show.
Love the guitar, too.
Wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
One morning in the month of May, as from my God I strayed, just at the dawning of the day, I met with the charming maid. Just at the dawning of the day, I met with the charming maid.
Good morning to you, weather, said I. Good morning to you now. The maid replied, kind sir, she cried, "I've lost my spotted cow."
The maid replied, kind sir, she cried, "I've lost my spotted cow. No longer weep, no longer mourn, no
And it's got this great, what happens in the electric guitar on this record is so fantastic for people who are in love with traditional British music, what they and folks like Richard Thompson were doing in Fairport Convention, just electrifying was that music.
Yeah, was the electric guitar kind of their thumb in the nose at traditionalists?
Absolutely, yeah.
And it's interesting that it came in for about two notes at the beginning and then disappeared.
But outrage and revolution, sometimes that's sort of all it takes, you know? Like, how dare you? Like, it didn't take much, right?
Right.
Yeah.
They slipped it in there.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, who's with us again?
Pick us a song. Play something that you madly love from today.
Well, the last one was yours. Should we do one of mine?
Yeah, do...
they're kind of all both of ours, but...
Do the moon one.
Oh.
Right?
Do the moon one.
Yeah,
do the moon
so
one.
There was this... there's a record that came out in 2002 called Finally We Are No One by this Icelandic band called Moom. Or at least that's how me and my friends always pronounce it. I hope I'm saying it right on the radio.
I think that's how I used to pronounce it too in Vermont.
And I was just madly in love with this record and this band. It just spoke to so much that we were trying to make at the same time. And it just kind of brought this sense of intimacy to electronic music that kind of wasn't terribly present right before then. If you can imagine a world before the Postal Service, you know.
Yeah,
that was
that's
not
totally
a thing that
true.
Happened that much. You know, there was a lot of it. There was delicate stuff, but it was usually more in the kind of Warp Records, IDM kind of, aggressive Autechre kind of vein. And so this record was a huge thing for me. And this past weekend, I thought of this song because this past weekend we played at a festival in Eau Claire, Wisconsin that Justin Vernon and Aaron Dessner put on. Mm-hmm. And one of the acts at this festival was an Icelandic kind of theatrical musical performance. It was the Dessner twins and then the twins from the band Moom, and they did this beautiful set of songs, this song cycle that was all to kind of old and contemporary poetry. It was one of the most interesting performances I saw, and I got to meet one of the women in Moom, and it just reminded me how magical I think their band was. And started me listening to this record and specifically this song again, and it brought me right back. This song is called Green Grass of Tunnel. It was the first song that really stretched my brain out when I listened to it.
Excellent. Thank you. Have you ever been, either of you, to Iceland?
Yeah, I've been.
Yeah.
I have never gone, unfortunately. I'd love to go.
It's the best. Right? I also got to tour, Mountain Man got to open for Jonsi, so I hung out with a lot of Icelandic people. And then my pal Joe took me there when I was 19.
Wow.
You take that Moom track we just heard and blow it out a little bit. The chord progression was very much like a Sigur Rós song, I think.
Oh, yeah. Iceland, a magical land where everyone is creative and yeah. picks the most beautiful things.
Every song just sounds like it came out of a mystical fairy creature.
Yeah. No, yeah.
Out of a fairy creature, not a fairy land, but like this creature is making it.
We got to get Nick there. And Amelia, you could probably say that landscape and dramatic landscape-wise and everything about that place, you really do understand that music better, right?
Oh, darn tootin'. They also have the best hot dogs in the world.
I'm like a little worried about going there.
Why?
Because everyone I meet who's from there, and every time a friend of mine goes there, so one of those two interactions, mm-hmm. I realize that if I go, I don't know if I'm going to be able to come back for a long time.
You like it being your wizardly, faraway land.
Yeah, I just think that it's going to agree with me on a really intense level.
The only thing I can say...
I might not be able to leave for many months to many years.
It's really expensive, so it makes
that'll help,
leave.
Yeah.
expensive in the fact that at 3:30 in the afternoon, at least when I was there in November, it's dark.
Yeah, that's...
So you miss the sunlight, at least I did. I wasn't even there for the 5 months that there is none.
Yeah.
So there'll be things that'll chase you back home to make music. But it is magnificent, and everyone needs to go. Let's go to another song.
Okay.
Taking turns.
Let's do Hood Politics by Kendrick Lamar.
Oh, such a great song.
And want to say anything before we hit it?
This is the song. I have to listen to this song at least once a day.
Wow.
Right now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just think it's amazing. The way he changes his flow constantly in the song is unbelievable. And also as a musician, I think he speaks to a lot of things that are frustrating maybe to other musicians.
Darn tootin'.
There's so many things we could talk about this song probably the whole show. I think this just kills me on this record.
He also calls out Killer Mike. Any song that calls out Killer Mike deserves to be listened to all
completely
the time.
Agree.
Excellent.
K-Dot, pick up the phone, nigga. Every time I call, it's going to voicemail. Don't tell me they got you on some weird old rap shit, nigga. No socks and skinny jeans and shit. Call me on Shanika's phone.
I've been A1 since day one, you niggas boo-boo. Your own boy, your block that you're from, boo-boo. Little hoes you went to school with, boo-boo. Baby mama and your new bitch, boo-boo. We was in the hood, 14 with the deuce-deuce. 14 years later, going hard like we used to. On the dead homies. On the dead homies. Give a fuck about no politics and rap, my nigga.
Nigga.
A little homie stunner deuce ain't never coming back, my nigga.
Nigga.
So you better go hard every time you jump on wax, my nigga.
Nigga.
Fuck what they talk about, your shit is where it's at, my nigga.
Nigga.
Came in this game, you stuck your fangs in this game. You want no chain in this game, your hood, your name in this game. Now you double up, time to bubble up the bread and huddle up. Stick it to the scripts, now if them Benjamins go cuddle up. Skip, hop, trip, drop, flip, flop with the white tube sock. It go. That's what the products smell like when the chemicals mix. 50 niggas salute out the Compton Zoo with the extras. Elcos, Monte Carlos, Road Kings and dressers. Rip riders, P-Funkers, Mexicans, they fuck with you. Asians, they fuck with you. Nobody can fuck
with you.
I've been A1 since day one, you niggas boo-boo. Your own boy, your block that you're from, boo-boo. Little hoes you went to school with, boo-boo. Baby mama and your new bitch, boo-boo. We was in the hood, 14 with the deuce-deuce. 14 years later, going hard like we used to on the dead homies. On the dead homies.
wanna scrabble with me, body, oh yeah. Tell them they can run it for the cardio, oh yeah. Everything is scandalous. Slow motion for the ambulance. The project filled with cameras. The LAPD gambling, scrambling. Football number slandering. Niggas' names on paper, you snitched all summer. Streets don't fail me now. They tell me it's a new gang in town. From Compton to Congress, set tripping all around. Ain't nothing new but a flu of new Democrats and Rep Lad against Red State versus
Record of the Year.
Darn tootin', man. I keep on trying to show this record. I recently tried to show this record to my mom. And, you know, I feel like when I first heard it, I was like, wow, this record is so intense. I'm not going to listen to it right now. And I waited 2 weeks and then listened to it, like gave it the requisite twice through. And from that point on, I listened to this record, I don't know, man. Almost once every 4 days.
Yeah,
something like that right now. We spend a lot of time on planes. I listen to it on the plane all the time.
The sounds on this record just are just mind-blowing.
Not to mention his verses are just next level.
Yeah, exactly. My favorite verse, actually, it's a verse that we didn't play. It's the third verse. Because he debuted the first two on the radio, actually. When he first sang them. Yeah, I was reading up on it today.
We'll put full versions of these online.
What's the line? The third verse is basically he talks about how all of the critics are saying that they miss when hip hop was rapping, and that none of them are actually supporting that. They're just saying it and not supporting actual rap hip hop music.
Yeah, well, that's where the Killer Mike line drops. Where he
exactly.
Says, you know, well, if you did, then Killer Mike would be platinum. It's just that whole. You can't really condense that verse though. It's just this beautiful set of lyrics on the kind of state of music criticism and the state of hip hop and where he's at, and he just continually changes his structure. It's unreal. That whole thing about Pandora's box where he starts tripping over himself.
Yeah, exactly. And he relates it back to his control verse where he like was basically like, "You guys are really fucking boring. You're really boring me right now, and I'm gonna prove to you that I fucking rule. I'm the king of both coasts."
Let's see. You know, we're on NPR.
Oh, pardon me. Sorry, NPR.
So you hear a piece of contemporary music like this, how does it affect what you guys make together?
With a record like this one, and I think there's a bunch of records like this that came out for me in the last 2 years, I'd say, where it's a record that's just so perfectly representative of the artist that made it, and it feels like such a pure, you know, missive or expression from that person, and it doesn't sound like anybody else could make it. My favorite part about records like that, and I'd say the same thing about this record we've talked a lot about, which is an album called Human Voice by Dentel, is that they don't make you want to make music like that. What they make you want to do is make an even better record that sounds like you.
Very well said.
That's good.
Yeah, perfect.
And so I've been endlessly inspired. That's been the most inspiring thing about the records coming out in the last couple of years, is that I feel like music is you know, if it was even possible, it's broadening out even further the definition of what can be considered accessible or pop music.
Yeah, this record was the number one record in the country. How amazing is that?
And it's an 80-minute, you know, 16-track or whatever diatribe and mission statement about the state of, you know, essentially black culture in America. It's, you know, it's like a really dense, intense record. And it was number one.
Yeah, and you never want to skip any track.
That alone, I think, makes you realize that you can do anything with your own voice and not worry about, you know, being too niche.
So what are you guys up to? When do we hear something new? You must be cooking on something.
Oh, we're working. If you come see us live, we play new tunes now. Mm-hmm. And we've got a couple more moving along. We're enjoying just playing festivals right now and resting in between.
Yeah, I mean, this is the first time we've gotten to be home in between shows, really. But I think we're both really looking forward to this cycle. The last thing we have booked is in November. And so after that, I think we're looking forward to hunkering down and, you know, really working out all the stuff we've started, which is a lot right now. I'm kind of excited about
this. Yeah, there are a lot of little seedlings.
Yeah.
Well, we're excited too. Thank you for doing this. You want to go out on something? Is there a song you'd like to?
Oh, yeah. Well, should we do the Greg Browning or Annie Lennox?
I think we should do Annie Lennox.
Okay.
My turn, your turn now.
Okay. Well, so...
We basically only listen to the same music because all we do is hang out in the car together.
Yeah. So this last song that we're going to play is by Annie Lennox. It's Walking on Broken Glass, which is it was so tough. I'd been thinking a lot about Annie Lennox for the past little while, and so I really wanted to play one of her songs. And it was so tough to pick, because once you start thinking, well, what if I only had to play one Annie Lennox song, which one would I play? There are so many amazing, multifaceted Annie Lennox songs and Eurythmics songs you could play. It's like her catalog is so deep, and it's, you can kind of forget that. She's insane. That the performance she did at the Grammys.
I think we're going to lose you in 20 seconds. So.
Okay. Well, then forget it. Let's not talk about the Grammys. Let's listen to Annie Lennox and Walking on Broken Glass, one of the greatest songs.
Excellent. Let me just see if the connection goes away. Thank you. Well, let's do this. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Oh, bye.
Bye.
Thank you
so much for having us, Bob.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Sweet.
This is the show.
Sugar honey, if I can't have you.